Well, I'd like to preach for a little while about the need for missionaries. As you know, I've been in 1 Peter, going through 1 and 2 Peter eventually, but I felt led that we want to pause just for a moment. And as we get ready, I've already told you what my prayer is, that all of us would be involved in missions. It matters not to me how much you give. That's between you and the Lord. My prayer is that you would feel this desire to yoke up together with these missionaries that are down the hall and the ones that aren't down the hall yet that we're going to take on as God brings them our way over the next year or so. But that you and I would all yoke together and say, we want to see this mission program get the gospel around the world. It's very, very important, and I'm so sold on it that I want to just hit it one more time. Next week, of course, Brother Thrift will be here, and I know there'll be a blessing to you. He'll preach, and we'll take the cards up. I do remind you that if you don't have one of those faith promise cards in your Bible or somewhere there at the house, to get one. They're out in the lobby, but they'll be in your bulletins again next week. But I want you to be praying this week, Lord, what would you have us do? And I think that we could take a vote to say, well, we want to see the gospel around the world. Well, this is the way that we can practically do that. I want you to look in Romans chapter 10, if you would. As you look at Romans chapter 10, we'll look at verse 11 down to 15, and we'll see this passage of Scripture where many preachers preach from as far as how shall they preach except they be sent. And I praise the Lord for these verses. And this passage talks about the same message of Christ is needed everywhere. As I mentioned to you already, the gospel just protected and preserved and articulated in the book of Romans is such a valuable asset to all of us as we're in the ministry. But it's also this book about getting the gospel to the places that it is not. So Romans chapter 10, in verse number 11, the Bible says, "For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed?" And that's the quandary that much of the world is in right now as we look at this world that knows not Jesus Christ, doesn't know him like we know him, even you knew about him long before you knew him. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? It's amazing the millions of people tonight that have not heard the name of Christ, the salvation of Christ, and how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. I want to preach for just a little while about the need for missionaries, because I look at this world and I see the missionary letters that come in. I see the ones that would like for us to partner with them. And I see the need so glaring to us. And I see here in the Scripture that's also given the need for missionaries. So I want you to look in verse number 14, and I see this first of all. I see the plea for missionaries. The plea for missionaries, you say, well, the word missionary is not in that verse, neither is it in any of those verses. That's true, but this is, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You can call them what you want. You can call them a preacher. You can call them a missionary. You can call them a gospel spreader. You can call them whatever you want. But the song when you were in beginner department is true. We are a missionary. We ought to be a missionary every day. Boys, girls, every one of us, we ought to be missionaries. How shall they hear without a preacher? Gray, Tennessee stands in the same need of those over in Pakistan, those over in Kazakhstan, and those over in every other place down in Central America, South America, everywhere. The need is the gospel message to go where it isn't yet. And then in the places that it is, like we are sitting here, and there's churches all around that proclaim the gospel, but it still needs to be given to individuals on individual basis here and here and here. So we saw back in Romans chapter 1, verse number 5, the Bible says this, "For the obedience to the faith among all nations." So as God is using Paul to write this book to the church of Rome, he is giving it then to say that we've obeyed the gospel, that faith that's been given, but the desire is for it to go to all nations. It was never meant to stay local, wherever local was. This book is that pure presentation of the gospel, but it's also that missionary letter that the apostle is sending to them and saying, I want this message to go to all nations, as in Isaiah when it says, I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? sin. And as if it were Paul, that we're like the Old Testament that said, here am I, send me. We need some more folks that would say like the prophet in Isaiah, but also that Paul did as God called him to say, here am I, send me. Did you know that God gave Abraham a worldview? Because Abraham, the Bible says, of course, the father of the Israelites, and as God, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, as it worked down through there, and then Jacob, the sons of his, the tribes and all. But the Bible says in Genesis chapter 12, it says, in thee, talking to Abraham, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God's had a worldview to everybody to get the message since the very beginning. This wasn't something that God came up with later. This wasn't a contingency plan. This wasn't something that God said, oh yeah, everybody else needs to hear it as well. It's always been God's plan for the nations to know about Christ. I see the plea for missionaries. How shall they hear without a preacher? There's a little Scottish church that was ready to ask their aged pastor to step down. He was older, and they hadn't had any conversions in that year. And so the leadership went to him and said, preacher, we're going to have to ask you to step down. In a Scottish accent that I won't try to mimic, he said, He said, we did have one. And he said, wee Bobby, mean little Bobby. And they had forgotten, but there was this young boy that was barefooted from a poor section of town that came in with not very much. But he not only got saved, but at a missions meeting at that Scottish church, he asked the usher that had a crude, rough offering plate to put it down. And he stuck his bare feet down in that plate and said, I don't have anything to give, but I do want to give me. And that wee Bobby, that little Bobby that was the one that was saved, was the one that became later the father-in-law of David Livingston. Wee Bobby was Robert Moffat. He and his son-in-law, David Livingston, gave their lives to take the gospel to Africa. And so I'm looking at whether it's that wee Bobby back in that day, whether it was somebody here in this age, whether it's somebody in this church, I see the plea for missionaries. But I see not only that, I want you to look in verse number 15. I see that there's also the suffering of missionaries. You say, Pastor, I don't see the suffering in there. Let me explain. And how shall they preach except they be sent? What did sending entail? You've heard that phrase, you're sending them to a den of lions. We get that from Daniel in the lion's den. Sending them into a hornet's nest. Sending them into trouble. Well, when people got sent into the gospel ministry, they were doing all of those and more. What did sending entail? It entailed suffering. It was not like entering into the ministry today. Oh, you may not have all that you want. You may have some friends that are making more money than you do, but I live very comfortably. I'm in the ministry and I'm blessed and I'm thankful for the way the church takes care of us. But not only that, but also other young men that are, or older men that are entering into the ministry right now, especially in this nation anyways, they do that with relative safety. But not so in that day. The Bible talks about Paul in the book of Acts, and he described him as this, the men that hazarded their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus. So when you were sent in the gospel ministry at that point, you weren't sent into a life of ease. I told somebody the other day, I said, well, it's not Sunday, so that's my full work day, and it's not Wednesday, that's my half work day, so you caught me on a day off. And I jokingly say that the staff and I try to work and labor. But you understand we work and labor in relative ease, just like most Americans do in whatever job they're in, but not so for these folks. How shall they preach except they be sent? And when they were sent, they weren't sent with a 401k. They weren't sent with a 403b. They weren't sent with anything. They weren't sent with the securities, and they weren't sent with the amenities. They were just sent out there. And as one old preacher put it, when Paul entered into a town, he might as well have checked out the jail instead of the Holiday Inn, because it was much more likely that he was going to be in jail before he left than not. And so we understand that the suffering of these ministries, and so it makes it come real when the readers would have read this passage or this part of the letter, it made it real what Paul said in chapter 8, verse number 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And we take this as a great comfort because we realize that present help of Jesus Christ, but when they were reading it and they knew that he had hazarded his life for the gospel's sake, can you imagine the tone that these verses put on? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword. Paul wasn't saying these as an allegory or as a figurative language. He was saying these because these are the things that he had already been involved in. And as he was writing these people at Rome, he said these things or any other that you want to put up against it, they're not going to separate us from the love of Christ. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And so I'm saying to you this evening that those people that were being sent out as gospel paraders, gospel's proclaimers were sent into an unsafe world. And you'd think that none of them would have went, but they did. You remember the disciples that were too afraid to stand up for Christ. They weren't even watching him when he went to the cross, the majority of them. But they were those ones when the Holy Spirit empowered them. They got that breath of heaven and they went and turned this world, the Bible says, upside down. I'm thinking of the suffering of these missionaries. I've heard for years about John and Betty Stamm. I studied them out some more this week. They graduated from Moody Bible Institute back years ago. They were 24 years of age back in the early 30s. I think they went to China in 1933 or 1934. Young Bible college graduates and going in a China Inland Missions. And as they went in there, the communists were getting more and more rough on foreigners, Americans. So much so that they were proclaiming the gospel message of Jesus Christ. But here's what the communist guards, the reason they gave of why they were going to take them. The foreigners have ruined China. Too bad you don't get labeled for what they're really doing. They were really given hope and help and the promise of salvation and through Jesus Christ. But the Stams were given a little bit of warning that the communist guards were going to come that way, but not enough warning. The guards got there before they could leave the compound. And they took them and their little baby and they took them out of their compound and they held them in a little holding station overnight and then drug them out the next morning. They stripped them of all their outer clothes and they marched them to Eagles Point. As they marched them to Eagles Point, the baby had been secured and had been hidden, but they marched them to Eagles Point. And it's said that there were some sympathetic people, probably converts of the Stams, that challenged the guards just a little bit. One of those that challenged the guards, they put him in line right with the Stams, and they started marching up to Eagles Point, which would be the place that they would go see Jesus from. And as these people marched at the demand of these soldiers, they stopped him there and made Betty watch, and they took off the head with a sword of John. And she fell on his lifeless body, and the same sword that took her husband's head sent her to see Jesus that same day, being in there 2 years serving the Lord. 1934, December 6th, was the day that those faithful missionaries met Jesus Christ, who they'd told a lot of people about. You say, oh, that sounds like long ago and far away. Not that long ago. I see the suffering of the missionaries. But again, you would think that nobody would ever do it. But when God gets on somebody and God leads that person to go and stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend, might we have the boldness of some of these missionaries that go in harm's way and they go without what they desperately need in their physical life, but they serve the Lord even in a suffering condition. I want to give you this last one before we leave. Not only the plea for missionaries, how shall they hear without a preacher? And the suffering, but then I also want you to look at verse number 15, the beauty of the missionary. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As we looked at the first part, as written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. How beautiful are the feet. You know, everybody wants to change things about themselves. They want to be skinnier. Some want to be a little bigger. Some want to be taller. Some want to have this. They want to be bulkier. They want to do all of these things. They want to have something changed about them. They're too tall. They want to be shorter. They're too short. They want to be tall. Everybody wants something different. One lady came to her husband and says, are you going to love me when I turn gray? He said, I might as well have loved you through three other colors. All of us want something changed about us. I don't know what the perfect weight, the perfect hair color, the perfect height. I don't know all those things about you. But scripturally, I know how you can have beautiful feet. Brother Dan Rogers, our friend, he says, oh, feet are gross and ugly. Nobody wants to see feet. And maybe that's right. Bobby Robertson used to say his son Steve would maybe playing ball or something, and he'd be getting ready, playing in sports clothes, I guess his shorts and things. He said, "But Steve," he said, "well, I'm on the Beautify America program. I'm going to keep my legs covered up." So I think he'd be in the same way. He wouldn't wear open-toed shoes either. He'd keep a Beautify America, I guess. Well, I don't know about all that, but I do know this. Biblically, you can have beautiful feet, not because of the way you take care of them, but with what you do with them. John and Betty Stamm that were beheaded that day, the night before, John tried to get a letter, a note out to his mission, the China Inland Mission. It wasn't received before he was martyred, but it was later received. And in that he wrote Philippians 1, verse number 20, "So now Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death." Those must have been some beautiful footprints leading up to Eagles Point. If you could have traced that steps, I don't know what the world would have thought, but God must think that those footprints that are leading up to that place where they met Jesus face to face must have been beautiful footprints left behind. And so I believe this scripture's commanded, or clear rather, we're commanded to reach this world with the gospel. How shall they call in him who they've not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? We've got some of the most wonderful missionaries that line this hallway down here. And tonight, I want to give you the plea to get engaged and get thinking about missionaries. And not only that, but we are commanded to reach this world both locally and globally. So I want to be very blunt with you tonight. We need missionaries of Johnson City, Kingsport, Gray, Bristol. We need missionaries around in this area. Brother Daniel has been trying to ramp up our efforts in the bus ministry. We need missionaries, and it's a lot of work, and I understand that, but we need some missionaries that say, "I can give a couple hours on Saturday to go out and visit new areas and go out and find people that would get on that bus and give a couple hours on Sunday. This could be my mission field." This has been a mission church over the generations, but the mission work has started locally before it went out worldwide. The mission work has been that we've been after young people and older people and folks in need and folks in peril and folks in distress. We've been after all of them and getting them on buses or getting them in Bible studies and getting the gospel to them. And my friend, this evening, I would like to submit to you that you would need to ask God, "God, do you want me to be one of those missionaries?" Again, Brother Bobby Robertson, who pastored Gospel Light for years, when they first got in the bus ministry, he bought 4 or 6 old buses, he said, and parked them down there at the end of their property. He said the most unlikely of persons came to him one time, and he says, "Well, I want one of those old buses." And he said, "What are you going to do with that?" He said, "Well, like you've been saying, I'll go take it out and see if I can get some young'uns to get on there." And if I remember the story right, I think he did get some young'uns to get on there and then served in the bus ministry for the next 30 years trying to continue to get young'uns to come and be at church and Sunday school. We need missionaries here. But we not only need missionaries here, we need more to surrender as the Carriers did, as the Mullins did, as Matty Brown did, as Summer Scroggs did, as different people have. We need them to go all across this world globally to take the message of that book. How shall they hear without a preacher? Well, how shall they call over there if they haven't heard and if they haven't believed? And so I'd like to submit to all of us that we need some more missionaries here and there. And then, as I mentioned to you this morning in the message, if you heard that one, we also need a big host of people who will be senders and who will stay and they will help and they will pray and they will pay to get people around the world and here. There's folks that work in the bus ministry in this room you'd never think about because you don't even know that they do it. They just serve and they drive a bus and they get them back in here and then they come do their other thing and you don't even know it about. There's room for you as well. Maybe somebody needs to adopt a bus route. You say, I can't get up on those buses anymore, but I can go, I can adopt one. I can go knock on some doors, or I can do this. Maybe you need to adopt a bus route. You say, well, I can get pizza every other month for them, or I can do this for them, or I can do this. I'm not telling you what you do need to do. I would just like for all of us to think about what we can do for missions, both locally and globally. Because there's got to be some beauty in the feet of those people that are listed in verse number 15. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel, or preach the gospel of peace. And look at the phrase at the end, and now I'm closing. This is what those beautiful feeted, footed, whatever you call it, people are doing, bringing glad tidings of good things. Because those, that gospel of peace is that good tidings, or glad tidings rather, of good things. The need for missionaries. Would you surrender yourself? Say, Lord, and as your pastor, I'm trying to practice this. Lord, I'm willing. I believe I'm in the exact will of God. But Lord, I want to stay willing. If you'd want me to go to a foreign country, I don't want to hold the things that, I don't want to let the things that I have hold me where I'm not supposed to be. If I'm supposed to be on a foreign field, then Lord, I want to go. But if I'm not supposed to do that, then Lord, I want to help those that you've put it on their hearts, you've put it in their life, you've called them. And it's a joy for us to get to have the videos that we just had and some others that we'll have as we come along of folks that used to sit right here. But now they're spreading the gospel around the world. So I want us as a church to close here as our church family. I'm going to ask some of our leadership and deacons, but then also some Sunday school teachers, anybody else that wants to, just slip up to the pulpit here. And I want you to, as you come, I want you to pray that God would burden us as a church to do more than we've ever done before. And that's some big shoes to fill right there, because there's been a lot done. But that He would empower this old church to just stretch out more than we have before one last time, while we still have a space of grace to labor in until the Lord calls us home. Someone asked the instrumentalists to come. And as they come and they get situated, I'm going to ask any of the deacons, the Sunday school teachers, our greeters, our ushers, our workers, our junior church preachers, our bus captains, anybody that you serve in some capacity, and even if you don't, that's fine too. Come on up here, up to the pulpit, up to the steps here, make the first couple pews, your altar, wherever you want. Or if you don't get there, you just want to pray where you're at. Let's pray that we as a collective group, you say, well, I'm not even a member here. We want you. You're in. Let's go forward for God's glory. Pray that we could do more for the gospel outreach, that we would be, as that old missionary said, always advancing. Would you do that for me? Let's all stand together as they play. You stand. You don't have to bow our heads. Just come on. Let's find a place to pray. Pray for this old church that we could get on fire. Maybe we're on fire. Maybe we need on fire. Maybe everybody's different, but we could see more things happen. All anybody that wants to come, come. This front pew over here is open. This one here in the middle is open. Come and sit, kneel. Make an altar out of your pew there. Let's all send up prayers to God that we could reach people. There's some young, I think about Josh Smith over here is teaching the foundations class. There's some young couples around this area. We need them in his class so they can not only find the gospel, yes, but then so they can build their lives on a firm foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ. Looking at Brother Graham over here, left the mission field because of that transition as his life, got right back on the ministry, as if he ever got off, but right back in the ministry, on the ministry horse and serving in the victory class. We need his class to grow and to split and have more people in there. Look at Elijah up here, our newest bus captain. We need more of him. We need more people like him that would surrender to say, I can go knock some holes in the darkness up in Kingsport or something. Think about Johnny and Katie, just got married and serving the Lord, engaged in their work for Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Pray that God would give us a greater impact. There's so many folks here. Everything about Brother Shannon Barker back there has got this home builders class. Those people are in the age, many of them, they've got teenagers that are making key decisions. We need his class to grow and see people affected for the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about Brother Steve Mullins. Raised Levi. And some other kids. Levi's gone off to serve God in the United Kingdom and is planting churches and multiplying himself. Now his grandson, grandkids, but grandson here and granddaughter, other ones over in Knoxville. We're praying for that next generation to come face to face with what God wants them to do. I'm going to ask Levi's dad if he wouldn't pray for Levi. As he prays, you pray with him. God would keep his hand on him. Use him over there for his glory.
Levi and Brittany are very busy. They now have a ministry started in Victoria Falls, Africa. They need a preacher. They need a family to go there and take that work. He's been in Netherlands for a week. 150, 200 people met him there, begging for a pastor to come, someone to come and preach the gospel. This new church that he just showed here in the middle of a town that desperately needs help. The drugs and the alcohol, how it's affected that community, and now that community is reaching out. The gospel is so alive in the United Kingdom, and we need to pray for workers. Levi and Brittany can't do it all. And they've got other young people there helping them. And the college, Crown College, is sending more. We need to pray for all that for those guys. They have such a good ministry going right now. Many, many needs. Buildings are free. People are given church buildings. And they need people to fill them. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for Levi and Brittany and all the work that they've been doing in the last 10 years. Thanks for that ministry, how it got started, and how you've blessed it, Lord. It's all your work. You've done it all. They've just been in your way. They raised their hand one day right here at this pulpit and said they would go. And Lord, you have used them richly. Lord, and I thank you so much for that. God, it's nothing I've done. It's all you. We just went to church and trusted you to take our children and use them. And now you're using Levi, you're using Wes in Knoxville, as he is a dentist there and works in that church. And Katie and Shannon here and the grandchildren. Lord, I am so blessed, and I thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for my children. Lord, just move them all for the cause of Christ. Lord, pray for Levi and Brittany. You just take care of them and give them workers that they need in all these locations. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.
Have Brother Daniel lead us in that last part of the chorus, just as a going home song of a couple times, Send the Light. It's 565, but you won't even need the words, I don't think. Brother Daniel might. But just send the light, send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. And we'll use that as our going home song.
Send the light, the blessed gospel light.
Fellowship. Thanks for being here tonight. You are dismissed.